past few weeks, we've been talking about being blinded by faith. And if you've missed any of the messages so far, there's only, what, been two in this series? It's a short series. Go on our website, pull those up, and listen to them, because it can change the way that you read the Bible. It can change the way that you listen to worship music. It can change the way that you relate with God and other people. So listen to those messages. Last week, we had a really interesting conversation about how science and faith work together. Did anyone enjoy that? Any nerds out there? Yeah. Yeah, you are. Yeah. And this week, I posted links. We had Jared and Danny had told us a couple of different links, apps, websites, podcasts, things like that to look at, and I posted those on our Facebook page. Take a look at those. There's some pretty cool stuff. And at the very least, Danny talked about this app, and when he talked about it, I was like, that sounds like the dumbest thing ever. Like, this is not cool. And so I downloaded it, and then I lost 10 minutes of my life just, like, playing with it immediately. It's so cool. I don't actually know what it does, and I don't understand the science behind it, but I don't care because it's pretty. So so download the app. It's fun. It's fun for kids. It's fun for adults. It's just fun. All right, so this week we're going to be talking about how experience, spiritual experience, relates with faith, how they work together. So I don't want to just stand up here and talk to you about my perspective, my experiences. So in a minute, we're going to have a couple ladies come up here, and they're going to share their stories of faith, their stories of times that God's intervened in their life. And I was trying to think about, like, how do I explain this? Because, you know, sometimes I get things in my head, and then I don't know how to put it into words to where it makes sense for people. And so for like 2 weeks, I've been trying to figure out, how am I going to introduce this topic? How am I going to talk about, like, what we're talking about? Because it's kind of weird. Like, you can't hold a miracle, right? Like, you can't see something, like, you can't see the spiritual world. If you could, it would probably look like Danny's app, because it's, like, really cool looking. But you can't see it. You can't touch it. It's intangible. So how do you talk about something that's intangible? So does anyone like Maverick City Worship? Anybody? If you don't, look them up. They're awesome. Like most of the songs that we do, like the new songs we're introducing, are from them. Well, they just dropped a new album in the past couple weeks, and I was listening to it this week. And the song that we just did, Too Good to Not Believe, they did a different version that I hadn't heard before on it. And I was listening to it, and at the end of it, there's this really beautiful, like, worshipful part. And she just starts singing it over and over again. It's written in your resume. And I was like, that's a weird word for a worship song. A resume? Like, but then she just kept saying it, and I got to thinking about it. And I was on my way to the school to pick up Liam. And by the time I got to the school, I was sitting in line, and I had my phone, and I was just, like, typing out notes of, this is it. This is what I'm going to talk about. So I'm going to try to sum it up really quick. What is a resume? It's something that, on paper, that you give to somebody that doesn't know you to tell them how awesome you are. Right? In a nutshell. It's something printed that you give to someone to recommend yourself to them. The Bible is God's resume. His story of faithfulness is his resume. It's the Bible. We can read about his faithfulness. We can pick it up, and we can read these stories, and we can talk about these stories, and we can secondhand experience these stories that happened thousands and thousands of years ago, because it's written in his resume. But, you know, that's not all that future employers want to know about you, right? So we're going to look at a couple scriptures from Psalms. Psalms 119. 89 through 90. 119 is a really long book, but it's very good chapter. It says, your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and it endures. So we have his resume that endures. His word of faithfulness, his experiences of being faithful. But you know, if your resume is good and you get the job, but then your performance at the job does not match up with the history of experience that's noted in your resume, then you don't quite meet their expectations. And all of a sudden, your employer considers you to be untrustworthy. But if you get the job and your performance matches your resume, then it establishes a new level of expectation and trust. You're confirming what's written in your resume. So sometimes we read the Bible and we're like, okay, those miracles, those things, those experiences, those were for people back then. But things like that don't happen today. But you know, the God's resume, the Bible, it's trustworthy, right? So I can believe based off of that, but we don't have to believe just based off of that. Because we have the opportunity to have experiences and encounters with God every single day of our life. In Psalms 40, it says, many, my Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. God's miracles are not limited to the Bible. Just like your experiences, your knowledge cannot all be represented in your resume. So the Bible is God's resume, but our stories that show his faithfulness in our lives, it matches that history. His performance makes him trustworthy. It raises our expectations when we start recognizing that what happened back then, he's still doing now. In Psalms 40, it goes on to say, I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I'm going to tell other people about what you did. That's what it's saying. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. You guys are the great assembly. So today, we are going to hear God's resume come to life through the stories of some people who have lived God's experiences. So, Laura and Celeste, are you ready? Give them a hand. They might be just a little nervous. Okay, giving you a live mic. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys a couple questions. And yes, I did give them time to prepare because these are questions that kind of take a little bit of thinking. So we're going to talk about a couple questions and we're going to kind of discuss what's happening here. So we're going to start with Laura. And if you don't know these ladies, shame on you. They're awesome. Like, get to know them, because every time I have a conversation with either one of them, I leave it feeling like I have a stronger faith in God. And I know I just raised the bar real high for you guys, so. But these are the kind of people that you just kind of, you have to love. So Laura, can something be real or believed if it cannot be logically or scientifically explained?
Yes. And I thought about that really hard, and that's what I came up with, yes.
I need more. She's a science teacher too, so this will be fun.
So yes, I am science minded. I love how science explains all of the beautiful things that we see in nature. But I've always been mesmerized by nature and what God's made. I grew up down by the creek, so like I got to see all this amazing beauty my whole life, and I was always mesmerized by it. But as far as her question goes, I don't need the science to believe that God is who he says he is. And when I was thinking about how I was going to talk about the fact that I don't need logical thinking, like I don't need logic, I don't need science to prove that God is who he is, what kept coming to my mind is the peace that he provides me. Because, you know, we've all been through stuff, but it seems like there for a while, for years, I was getting stuff thrown at me constantly. I mean, my biological dad passed away of throat cancer. And then my brother was in a wreck that almost killed him. Didn't, but then my sister was in a wreck that paralyzed her. And then my mom was in an accident that a rock threw out her eye, like busted her eye, and she lost her eye. And I'm just like, well, what's next? It's got to be, like, something's going to happen to me because it, you know. But through all of it, God was just, like, he kept me at peace. And so a lot of that, you would be like, it's just too much to handle. And I never felt, I mean, I'm not saying I never had anxiety and I never had fear. My personal, like, my human nature and who I am is very anxious and very fearful. So that's how I know it's real. Whenever I'm in a situation where they're telling me I have cancer, and I'm just like, okay. And when I'm in a situation where they're telling me I'm going to have a life-threatening procedure done the next morning, I'm like, okay. What is that? That is not me. That is God. That's the peace that he gives us. And so when I was looking at verses about his peace, because I have one that's my favorite, but I wanted to see what... It's just crazy. There's so many verses that talk about the peace that he gives you, and the peace, it's a gift that he gives us. It comes from him. It doesn't come from us. And so that goes back to what Carrie was talking about. His word, his resume says this, but my experience with him, I've lived it. So in 2 Thessalonians, it says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. Not just when things are going good, but and in every situation. And then another one of my favorites is John 14 says, and Jesus is the one saying this, I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the world cannot give it, so don't be troubled or afraid. So the world does not give me that peace. I don't give me that peace. God gives me that peace. And that cannot be scientifically explained.
Do you have anything you want to add to that? No? You want the next question?
Well, I just think, I told you before that usually I have like never been like into science, and like one of the things it was because I just saw like how we are like trying to find an explanation for everything, and I feel like it's like when you like see a beautiful painting, you don't ask the paint or the art, like how is it like that? Like you ask the artist. The artist is like the only one that is gonna be able to comprehend the painting. And I feel like that's like with God. It's like he's like too amazing, and he has like this wonderful ideas and wonderful creation that I think it's just impossible me as a human, like someone so small, being able to understand all his creation. I just think that there are things that are just miracles, like there are there to amaze us with his beauty and his wonder.
I can't remember which song it was that we just sang, but there was a line in it that got me thinking, like, it was saying something kind of like that, like there's beauty in what I can't understand. And that's a really weird line when you think about it, but like when we sang that, I kind of stopped singing for a second, and because I was like, you know, the more I learn, the more peace it gives me that there's things that I can't understand. And that, like you said, that can't be explained. Like, that's not scientific. That can't, but understanding that, you know, I don't have to, because I'm the paint, not the painter.
That kind of takes the pressure off, doesn't it? When you feel like, and I feel like that kind of takes the pressure off when you don't have to explain it.
Okay, Celeste, have you ever experienced anything in your life like a miracle that you can't explain?
Yes, and well, to share a little bit about it. Like, I have always heard like that Bible verse, and well, I don't have it here, but it's about that he's gonna give you, like, when you're like grieving or sad, he's gonna give you peace and joy. And, well, in my process, 2 years ago, my mom passed away from cancer. And, like, I remember, like, the first days they were telling me, like, he's going to give you, like, a joy that you cannot understand. And he's going to give you peace. And to be honest, I was like, how can they say that? Like, and I was so, like, angry and annoyed every time, like, someone told me that. And I was, like, in the process when my mom got cancer, I was applying for the Walton Scholarship. And it was, like, even when she was sick, she was so sure that I was going to get the scholarship. Like, I cannot explain you how she was sick, but she was, like, get ready for your interview. And I was like, you're crazy. That's not going to happen. And then she passed away. And like a week when she passed away, they like texted me and told me I needed to do an essay. And then I got to the interview part and all. And it was like the day I had the interview, it was just a month of her passing away. And during all that month, I was, like, in so much pain, and I was crying, and I was, like, I was basically broken, and I even, like, when they asked me, how do you feel, I was, like, I feel dead. Like, I feel that, like, I'm alive, but I feel dead, like, in the inside. But that day, like, I cannot explain, but I felt so full of peace, like, so calm. And I was like, this is not me. And I just thought that that is God. Like, God in me, like, helping me to, like, get this interview well. And I remember, like, the first question they asked me, it was about my family and about my mom. And I remember I told them, like, well, my mom passed away a month ago, but I'm ready to keep dreaming again, because that's what she taught me. And I'm ready to move on. And I cannot explain to you, but I felt the presence in God in that interview. And something, like, I would like to add is, like, usually we think, like, we are going to find the presence of God just, like, in church. But I genuinely felt that God was in that interview. And that all that I said, it was not me, it was him. And that he gave me that explainable peace that they were talking about, that verse. And that's how I believe that type of miracles cannot explain. Like, losing a month, like, a mom in 1 month, and all the hard process of she having cancer, and understand that was very hard. And it did broke me, but God was there, and he reminded me that he is love, and that everything he do, and especially for his daughters and sons, were for good. And that's how I have experienced that peace and that miracles that you are just not able to explain.
Yeah, I've had some experiences where, like she said, his presence isn't just here. I had a time when I was having a like I was panicking. I was so upset and I was crying so hard that, you know, when you cry so hard that you are choking and you can't catch your breath. And I just remember calling out, God, help me. And I'm telling you, it's like he just pulled it out. Like he just took that panic away. And I immediately felt his presence with me and it calmed me. Once again, cannot be scientifically explained, but you can't tell me that it wasn't real.
So you guys both shared a little bit about experiences, like times that you've been through where God gave you unexplainable joy and peace. I know you guys both have incredible stories of physical healing also. Would you like to share anything about that?
Okay, so, what I would like to say is, like, something, like, I have learned is that not all the miracles come, like, the way we want them. And, well, one of the experiences that I had have faith and that has got me strong in my belief in God was that process. And I remember, like, a month, like a days before that, my mom was diagnosed with cancer and that she was not able to get healed. When before the doctor told us that, like, it was like a whole week where I was like just crying and I didn't understand exactly why. And well, I remember like the last day before they told her that she had cancer and there was like no way like she could get healed. I was crying and I just like had the dream of her passing away. And I just like wake up and start praying. And I told God, like, I know you're a God of miracles. And we just like listened to that song that he's like the one that makes blind to see. And the one that brings dead to life. And I was like, I don't know what's going to be your miracle. I don't know if it's your miracle is going to be like she's going to be alive and she's going to be with me. Or if it's your miracle is you're going to take her with you and you're going to take care of her. But if you do it, you're going to take care of me because I cannot be alone and I need you. And something my mother told me and I experienced my mom and my dad got divorced when I was, like, very young. And I had, like, that necessity of having a father. And my father in, like, this earth was not the example I wanted. And she told me, like, God is a good father. So ever since that, I started calling God Father. And it was very funny because, like, I was, like, just 6 years old, so I told God everything. And if I disliked someone, if I didn't like someone in school, I was like telling God because he was my father. And I have like that relationship with him so close. So that's the way I talk to God. So I was like, if you're going to take her, you're going to take care of me and like about all the things I need. So I say that to God and I just surrender. And there are points or experiences where you just need to surrender it. And whatever his miracle and decision is, just accept him, even if you cannot understand, and even if you cannot explain to yourself what, and there are just things that are out of our knowledge. And to be honest, I even felt like the miracle, it was not going to be the one I wanted to, but it was going to be the one that worked out best for me, and for her, and for my brother. And I knew it, and even I cannot understand, and I feel like I'm just 18 years old, how you can take my mom, and I don't even have my dad. Even all those feelings were, like, bothering me. I knew that he was good, and that every decision he was going to make, it was going to work for my good. And she passed away, and it was a hard process, but that like unexplainable peace has been in my life. And I have experienced that faith. And I have learned that faith is not about not having fear. Because I had fear like the whole moment. And even now, sometimes I have fear. But faith is about trusting God. And I was able to trust him. And I can tell you, like, it has been 2 years. And I know that what he did was a miracle. And that I'm here and I have this faith and I have this perspective of God because of the experience I have had. Like, I believe in a good father, and I believe of someone that is faithful and good in your grieving and in your sadness, and that he can bring that to life and that he can bring joy to your life in those moments of hardness, because I'm full of joy. I'm full of happiness. I'm studying abroad. Like, no one could believe that, like, I didn't have a form even to study in my country, because I didn't have my mom and I didn't have my dad's support. But I knew that I had God, the best father I could ever have, and the one that's full of miracles and allow his sons and daughters to dream. And I'm here, like, living my dream, literally, like, studying what I wanted to do. And I have experienced that when you trust him, even though you have fear, that faith, it's enough.
Mine is a lot of what she said. You know, I mean, I've shared a little bit with y'all a while back, maybe a month or so ago, and I was diagnosed with olfactory neuroblastoma, and there were, I don't know, 4 or 5 surgeries. I kind of lost count. So many infections, so many times that I was told I almost died, but I didn't know that was happening. Like, God was protecting me from all of that was going on. But like she said, like, I wasn't going through it alone. He was with me, and I knew that there was hope, and I knew that however it turned out, you know, if Isabel were to be left without me, he would take care of her. He sent people to provide for me. There was never not somebody at my house bringing food or money or prayers or just hanging out. Or, I mean, he provided. He showed himself as someone who loved me, as she said, a good father. I didn't have an example of a good earthly father either, but he was there, and it's like this intimacy that you can't really explain how you can have that kind of intimacy with someone that you cannot see. But when you lay there in your bed sick and you sing these praise songs and you feel him holding you, that's all you need to believe that it's true.
So my next question is, I was going to ask how these experiences have impacted your faith, but I feel like we've kind of covered that. So I kind of walked through Laura's story with her, like part of her story. And, you know, I'm still getting to know Celeste a little closer, so I wasn't there for a lot of her story. But what I have experienced through their stories is there's a lot of parallels here. There really is. And God has reacted and he's provided for both of you in different ways. But from what your stories have said is that God gave you peace. He gave you joy that was unexplainable. He provided for you. He gave you provision. He sent people to pay your bills when you were having surgery after surgery. He gave you a scholarship when the odds were very much against you. He has led you every step of the way and somehow brought you guys both here to share about those experiences today. He's been a father to you when you had no earthly father to give you that provision, that love, and so you've learned to depend on him. So would you say that that has impacted your relationship with God in a different, more personal way, or in a different way than just like a heavenly king?
Well, as I said, like, since I was young, like, since I was 6 years old, like, I didn't have, like, that paternal figure. And I know, like, usually for, like, most kids, especially girls, that they don't have, like, that paternal figure, it's, like, very hard having that relationship with God as a father, because you're not able to think that he's good because of what your father has been. But, however, that's, like, when I talk about God, like, I couldn't be more passionate or more happy, because it's like if you ask me about my mom, like, I simply love him so much, and I have understand that, yes, he is a king, but also he's my father, and he loved me no matter what, and he loved me without measures, and that relationship and experience that at a young age have built a deep and close relationship with him, and has taught me, like, many things, and especially it has taught me, like, it has gave me identity, and it has taught me that I am able to receive love without measures, and I'm able to give love without measures, and that I'm not a victim, and that all the things that I go through, I'm not a victim, because I'm not alone. He is my father, and I do believe that my relationship, all the experience have not made that relationship like of someone that he's just my kin, but of someone that I see so close that the way I will talk to my mom and brother, I know I'm able to talk to him. Like, if I'm angry, if I want to cry, if I'm sad, if I'm happy, I get to share all those moments with him. I'm not feeling ashamed, because I know that, like, any mom here, like, if your son, like, or daughter, like, make a mistake, you love them unconditionally, and that's the love I get from God. So it has marked the relationship I have, and even the relationship I have with others, because he has been, like, my relationship with him has guided all my relationships. Like, the way I can relate to people and the way I see people is because of the way I have experienced my relationship with him, and it has been guided through him.
I don't know that I could say anything that she hasn't already said, but yes, that's the experiences have confirmed that helps your belief. When you're time after time provided for and time after time shown how much you're loved, it's easier to believe and it's easier to deal with the next situation.
So your experiences of the past give you hope and peace in the future and present. What you're saying?
You're so much better with words.
I'm not on the spot as much. So it's kind of like that scripture that we talked about last week, James 1:2. The testing of your faith produces endurance. And so I should look up the scripture, not my phone. But take joy. Consider it joy when the testing of your faith happens, because it gives you perseverance. It gives you hope for a future. So I have one last question for you guys. So most of what you guys have shared today, and I know that you guys have much bigger stories. It's like the scripture I read earlier. If we shared everything that had happened, then there wouldn't be enough. There's not enough text to cover that. But just from, like, the drop in the bucket that we've heard from you guys today, bad things happened. So in order for you to have these experiences, bad things happened. And bad things that could be devastating, bad things that could allow you to curl up in the ball, blame God, and consider yourself a victim for the rest of your life. So I want to know, how would you answer the question if somebody asked you, why does God let bad things happen to good people?
Well, first, I would like to say that I don't believe, like, he sent those things. Like, I don't believe he's in heaven and he's like, I'm going to make that people have, like, that person had cancer or stuff like that. Because he's love and he's good. However, I do believe, like, he allows those things to happen. But I believe, like, those type of situations make you vulnerable. Like, what I have learned from my story and, like, the most important point is that there are some moments where I have, like, no control at all, like, about the things going on. Like, the only thing I can do is trust. And even through my mom, like, the last, like, message she, like, left me, like, she write us a note, it was that God doesn't make mistakes and nothing goes out of his control. Like, that was, like, the last thing she said to me. And that impacted me because how someone that, like, had cancer and it had this awful process, the last thing that she wanted to let us know is that all the things that God do was good and nothing go out of his control. And if someone told me, like, why does God allow her to go through this, I will say that he made her have, like, he allowed that experience of vulnerability to impact others' life. Like, I'm sharing her story and I'm sharing my story, and all those moments of vulnerability can allow others to build and grow in their faith. So I think that in those moments when you experience something bad that it's not under your control, it's not something you can change, it's not something that you can do something about it, it's the moment when you get to experience his goodness and just let him carry you and let him do the impossible. Like, I believe bad things are when you have done the possible things, and now it's his turn to do the impossible. So bad things are a way to allow us to see miracles. Like, if everything was perfect, I think it will be harder to see his goodness and his miracles. And he doesn't need, like, bad things to happen. But sometimes it's, like, the only way that we are allowed to see those miracles, just when we are out of control, because we always like to be in control, and we always have, like, I'm a control freak, so I usually like to have everything in my order, but those moments and those experiences have allowed me to let God do the work and just stay still and remain in him.
I like what you said there, that it's when you've done all that's possible, it's time for to let go and let him do the impossible. That's powerful, and that's a hard place to be. Do you have something you want to add to that, Laura?
I'll just second what she said. I mean, he allows things to happen to us so that we can grow in our relationship and so that we can experience his love and that we can have that testimony.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Thank you for being vulnerable and sharing your stories. I know it's not easy, but we do have one more song that we're going to do, and